you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
We wave high the flag of freedom as a patriotic reminder to never take our independence for granted. Fireworks explode into the night sky, lighting up the darkness, reminding us of our nation's calling in the world. One nation under God. We look into the sky and remember that for all the freedom we have to celebrate, we must never forget our dependence on God. It was by His hand we were afforded our independence. So we might stand for liberty, remembering He set us free from the bondage of sin. So we might stand for justice, for the Lord loves justice, and He will not forsake His saints. So we might stand for freedom, because we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We thank You, God, for the beautiful gift of our country. May we always depend on You to sustain us.
Turn with me in your Bible to Galatians chapter 1. As you're turning to Galatians 1, I hope that you have had a happy 4th of July weekend. It's especially happy for our family because today is the last day of our 14-day quarantine. So we're all still feeling healthy and well and feeling good, but wanted to take precautions as we found out when we were returning from vacation a couple of weeks ago that we had been exposed to somebody that had COVID. And so just wanted to take precautions and make sure that we were staying away from everybody and trying to be a good neighbor, loving our neighbor. And so thanks for bearing with us. Today hopefully will be the last day that I record from my home office. So thanks for being patient there. I always enjoy taking time to remember and to celebrate the freedoms that we enjoy in our country. And God truly has shed His grace on thee, as the song goes. And I'm reminded that what started back in 1776 when our nation was born was certainly not without struggle. It wasn't without challenges, not without obstacles that needed to be overcome. And such has been the case throughout the course of history, whether in America or in other places around the globe. Struggle and reform and change and a desire to strive for something different. Something better, something that could be and that should be beyond what currently is and has been. That's a theme that we see recurring throughout history. And today, as we study in our walk through Galatians and this letter that throughout history has been such a great help and a word of wisdom and direction for those navigating seasons of change and challenge and striving for something different, something better. James Montgomery Boyce, a noted biblical scholar, said, "Not many books have made such a lasting impression on people's minds as the epistle of Paul to the Galatians, nor have many done so much to shape the history of the Western world. Galatians has been called the Magna Carta of Christian liberty," and it's quite correct. Yeah, Galatians, it rightly maintains that only through the grace of God in Jesus Christ is a person enabled to escape the curse of his sin or her sin and that of the law, and to live a new life, not in bondage or license, but in genuine freedom of mind and of spirit through the power of God. Freedom is an overarching theme that we will see and that we'll study throughout Galatians. It's also the title of this study, this freedom that Paul writes about in Galatians. It leads to people realizing and living out the change that Jesus actually makes in our lives and in our eternities. And in the way that we change to become the people that God, He created us to be. And as we help to fulfill the prayer that Jesus taught his followers to pray, your kingdom come and your will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven on earth, this a transition in a passing system that's broken by sin towards one that's aligned with the healed and the wholeness of the kingdom of God, a kingdom that's leading toward needed change. The book of Galatians, it was the cornerstone biblical text that actually guided Martin Luther into and through the Protestant Reformation back in the 1500s. He said, "The epistle to the Galatians is my epistle. I've betrothed myself to it. It is my wife." Sounds kind of weird when you think about it, but what Martin Luther was saying is, man, I've so connected and become one with what God says through this epistle that it's opened his mind and it's helped him lead into the needed reform of his day. And the words that God inspired the Apostle Paul to write in Galatians, they were so formational in leading Martin Luther to articulating what actually has become known in the Protestant Reformation as the five solas. Sola gratia, by grace alone. Sola fide, by faith alone. Sola Christus, by Christ alone. Sola scriptura, by scripture alone. And sola Deo gloria, for the glory of God alone. The five solas. And as we said last week, as we were looking through the first nine verses of Galatians, Jesus plus anything equals nothing, but Jesus plus nothing, man, that equals everything. And as biblical scholar Curtis Vaughn notes, the letter to the Galatians was written primarily to counteract the teaching of the Judaizers, also known as the agitators, who taught that Gentiles, or people that were not born Jewish, in order to be saved, they first had to become Jews. And specifically those agitators, they challenged Paul on two main points. First, they challenged the truth of his gospel by asserting that salvation is not by grace alone, and that it comes not by faith alone. They didn't deny the need for faith in Christ, but they did teach that faith, apart from obedience to the Mosaic law, was inadequate for full salvation. And then the second thing, that they challenged Paul's right to actually preach the gospel. That is, these agitators were arguing that Paul was not a true apostle and that his teaching carried no real authority. And man, when Paul hears that from the Galatian churches, Paul comes out guns blazing, and he writes Galatians letting everybody in the churches of Galatia know that it was Jesus Christ himself who called Paul as an apostle, and the authority with which Paul speaks, it actually comes straight from God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son by his grace, and that grace leads to peace. And so anybody who's going to follow a different gospel, as Paul said, other than the one that he preached that came straight from Jesus, well, let that person, or let that angel, as we read last week, let that voice preaching or speaking a different gospel actually be condemned. And so we pick our study up today in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. We'll go through verse 17 this morning and see what Paul has to say to us. Let's continue reading in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, which says, "For I am now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me, it's not man's gospel. Verse 12, for I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently, and I tried to destroy it. Look at verse 14. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son in me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and I returned again to Damascus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So let's walk this part of Paul's gospel, Paul's letter back, and let's take a closer look at what he's saying, what it means for our lives today. In verse 10, look with me. Paul says this again in verse 10, for am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So Paul has been criticized by these agitators, as we've been talking about, that the only reason that Paul's been teaching and been preaching to the Gentile believers in the Galatian churches is that it's only by the grace of Jesus that people are saved, and that they don't have to become Jews, i.e. they don't have to follow all the Jewish rules and rituals, including having that painful surgical procedure called circumcision done to prove your devotion to God. These agitators saying the only reason that he's doing that is because Paul wants to make it easy on these non-Jewish people, on the Gentiles, so that they will like him. These agitators are saying Paul just wants the approval of people. Paul, they're saying, is codependent on people's approval and will say whatever just to make people like him. And Paul comes back strong and he says, man, no way. There's no way. If I were trying to do that, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. Literally, a slave of Christ. It's such an interesting and such a paradoxical word choice from Paul, and an emotionally charged word in our world today. And it really had quite a meaning in Paul's day too. A slave of Christ, being owned by Jesus. And yet, think about it. The whole theme of Galatians is what? Freedom. Would you just say that word with me? Freedom. Man, if there's one verse in all of Galatians to sum up this whole letter from Paul, it's found over in chapter 5. Chapter 5, it's a great verse to memorize. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Paul's saying, guys, Jesus set me free. Jesus set you free. He sets all people free. into true freedom. When we put our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, in Him alone, based on what Jesus did on the cross by dying in our place to rescue us, to deliver us, as we talked about last week, to pay the ransom note, the price tag of sin that gave us back our lives. And thus, Jesus is the one who purchased our freedom. We are free in Jesus. And yet, Paul says, I don't want to experience freedom on my own. I only truly know freedom if I belong to Jesus, that the one who purchased my freedom. Paul's saying, man, apart from Christ, apart from Jesus, if I'm left to myself, then what I'm going to tend to do is just wander right back into the yoke and into the chains of the slavery of my sin that oppresses me in my life. True freedom, it's only found, it's only experienced when Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, that we bow our lives before, that we bow down to, that we worship, that we adore. Because He's the one who has our best interest at heart. Because, as Scripture says, He created us for His good pleasure. And our best life is experienced when we are under His care and when we are under His authority. Let's keep reading. Paul goes on to say, in Galatians 1, verses 11 through 14, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me, it's not man's gospel, for I didn't receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but," listen to this, "I received it," Paul says, "through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it." And Paul says, "I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers." Paul, he's just sharing his own story with the Galatian churches. He's saying, guys, man, if you could have known me before I met Christ, when Jesus revealed Himself to me, Paul's going, I was a starter. I was the captain of the varsity squad when it came to being an agitator, a persecutor, a hunter of the Christians. Paul's going, man, my leather jacket that I was wearing, it had all the patches, it had all the stripes, it had everything that could be given to designate I was on varsity when it came to persecuting the church, when it came to hunting down Christians and agitating all followers of Jesus. I was advancing, Paul said, so far beyond my religious peers, they couldn't even keep up with my devotion to the religious system, to the rituals, to all the stuff that you had to do to prove that you were devout. And I tried to not only persecute the church, I tried, Paul said, to devour it. Friends, before Paul met Christ, he was so messed up in his mind and in his ways, in his radical devotion to a system that was absolutely anti-Jesus. Paul actually used to be known by a different name. He used to be known as Saul. And the first time that we actually meet Saul in the pages of the Bible, it's back over in Acts chapter 7, if you wanted to flip back there in your Bible. Back in Acts chapter 7, it's the very first time that we meet Saul, that we hear of him. And what was happening then is the first person that we are aware of to die of their faith in Jesus is mentioned here in Acts chapter 7. It was a guy whose name was Stephen. And the people in authority, they didn't kneel on on Stephen's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds while Stephen breathed his last breath. Instead, what they did was they picked up rocks, they picked up stones, and they started throwing them at Stephen and pelting them, pelting Stephen with those rocks until he died. And look what it says in Acts chapter 7. Verse 58 and following. We'll read through Acts chapter 8, verse 3. Acts 7, 58 says, "And then they cast him," they cast Stephen, "out of the city, and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul." That's Paul. His name was Saul at the time. "And as they were stoning Stephen, Stephen called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, Stephen cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Chapter 8, verse 1. "And Saul approved of Stephen's execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church." Underline that word, ravaging. "Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house, and he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison." So it says here in verse 3 that Saul was ravaging the church. That word ravaging, it's a huge word in the original language. In the Greek, it's the word lumenomai. Lumenomai. It's only used here in the New Testament. But the context of this word ravaging, lumenomai, means to destroy, to ruin, to damage. And the word picture is that of a wild animal devouring and then gutting its prey and just scattering its bones all around. And it said there in verse 3 that Saul was like a wild animal just trying to take down and devour and gut the church. He was thirsty for blood. He wanted to kill the church. He wanted to scatter the bones of the church. And it was a brutal cruelty. And what we will see in the next chapter, as we would keep reading, is that God would do something that only God could do. God would take Saul, the ravaging Saul, the ravaging agitator and persecutor of the church, the lumenomai of Saul, and he turned Saul around. He turned a brutal and a damaging and a bloodthirsty man and a bloodthirsty situation. And what God then would do is he would use that wild, ravaging beast of a man to become the most influential church planter and missionary in the history of the world. And Saul would change. He would even have a name change. Saul would become known as Paul. And a new day and a new start was given to this man by God. And yet, Paul was haunted by those days of lumenomai until his dying days. And as I studied and just kind of marinated in that verse and the context and the meaning of it, I just couldn't help but wonder how many of you today may be feeling the effects of a type of lumenomai in your life right now. Many in our nation sure feel the effects of lumenomai. Our nation, doesn't it feel scattered and ravaged, gutted, lumenomai. Maybe you in your life today, you feel lumenomai. Maybe you feel lumenomai in your marriage, a gutting, a scattering, a ravaging. Maybe you feel lumenomai in your relationship with your kids. You just feel gutted and scattered and ravaged. Maybe you feel lumenomai in a friendship that you trusted, and now that trust has somehow been broken, and you feel gutted and scattered and ravaged. Maybe for you, you wish that every day you could go back and make a different decision in a different way, but you can't. And all you feel now is lumenomai. You feel gutted and scattered and ravaged. And friends, I'm telling you, Jesus wants to give you hope and healing and a fresh start, a new day. He wants to gather all of those scattered dry bones. And He wants to put a new song in your mouth. He wants to put a sunrise over the dark night that's been hovering over your soul. He wants to heal our land. He wants to heal our brokenness. He wants to heal your marriage and your relationship with your kids. He wants to heal that broken place in your life. He wants to forgive your past. He wants to give you a new lease on life. Friends, He did it with Saul, and He can do it for you. And the reason that you hurt so bad is because your soul has worth. You matter to God. And as that famous Christmas carol says, when He appeared, the soul felt its worth. And the reason that that word lumenomai, ravaging, may be connecting with you right now is because your soul is feeling its worth. And your soul's creator is here in these moments, and He's offering healing to you. Scripture says, where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, He is right there with you by His Spirit. And He is with you, and He's offering you healing and hope. Hope to change you. Hope to bring you back together. Hope to heal our lives, to heal our land, to offer freedom that comes from His grace and that leads to His peace. Remember, grace comes before peace. Grace is the means of Jesus' salvation, and peace is the byproduct of Jesus' salvation. And friend, no matter what kind of varsity player that you think you may have been when it comes to being anti-God, anti-church, anti-Jesus, anti-gospel, you were not worse than Paul. Paul was the captain of the varsity squad when it came to lumenomai, to ravaging the church, persecuting the church, and violently trying to destroy the church, as he writes in Galatians 1, verses 11 through 14. But let's not stop there. Let's keep reading. Back in Galatians 1, let's pick it back up in verse 15 about what Jesus did to Saul. Verse 15, but when He who had set me apart before I was born, Paul says, and who called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me in order that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, among the non-Jewish people. I did not immediately consult with anyone, Paul says, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but, Paul says, I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Don't miss this. This is so crucial right here. Did you hear? Did you read with me? Did you see and hear what Paul just said, what he just wrote? He said, the grace of Jesus can change anybody. Would you say that with me? The grace of Jesus can change anybody. The grace of Jesus. He can take the captain of the varsity squad of agitators like Paul and just totally change him, totally turn him around. Friends, never underestimate the power of Jesus. Never underestimate the power of Jesus. Just a moment ago, I showed you the bad side of Paul, aka Saul. And I want you to see what he did. Look what Jesus did to him. What happened, the good that came out of him that would lead to what Jesus would do through him. Back in Acts, look with me in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Verses 1 through 6. Look at this change that Jesus makes in Saul's life. Acts chapter 9, 1 through 6. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way of Jesus, if he found any followers of Jesus, men or women, didn't matter what gender you were, men or women, that Paul might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3, now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around Paul. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Look at verse 6. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. It goes on a little later, and Jesus says this of Paul in verse 15 of Acts chapter 9. He, talking about Saul, the Apostle Paul, he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name, Jesus says, before the Gentiles, before the non-Jewish people and kings and to the children of Israel. What am I saying? I'm saying that the grace of Jesus can change anybody. Would you say that with me again? The grace of Jesus can change anybody. As bad as it may seem in our nation today, the grace of Jesus can change anybody. Put that in the comments. The grace of Jesus can change anybody. As painful as life may be in your marriage today, would you say it with me? The grace of Jesus can change anybody. As gutted, as scattered as you may feel for your kids and the decisions that they are making in life today that may make them seem far away from Jesus, say it with me. The grace of Jesus can change anybody. Friend, in a time when so many seem to be wondering what, if anything, can possibly be done to bring the needed healing and hope and change not only to our land, but to our lives, I suggest that we keep taking a look at Paul's life, one who was like a wild animal, just ravaging the church, destroying people in violent and in unjust ways. And then by the power of Jesus Christ, his life, Paul's life, was changed in an instant. Why? Because the grace of Jesus can change anybody. And friends, Paul responded when the grace of Jesus was revealed to him. What about you? Have you ever responded to Jesus and allowed Him to begin to change your life by and through His grace? Friend, true change and true freedom is found in Jesus. And if you have never experienced that kind of change, if you've never had that point in your life where you've put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, where you've called out to Him and asked Him to forgive you of your sin and to change you, to change you from the inside out, I invite you to do that with me right now. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to pray with me a prayer that I call an ABC prayer. A, I'm going to invite you to admit that Jesus is the Savior and you are the sinner. And then I'm going to invite you to be, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross to make a payment in full for your sin that separated you from God. And then C, I'm going to invite you to call on the name of the Lord. The Scripture says over in the book of Romans that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? Sin, death, Satan, and hell. So if you would like to put your faith, your hope, your trust in Jesus Christ to be your Lord, your Savior, I invite you right now to pray this very simple but powerful prayer with me. You can say it out loud, you can whisper it, or you can say it in your heart and mind to the Lord Jesus. However you want to do it with me, He will hear and He will respond. And so I invite you right now to pray with me if you'd like to. Dear Jesus, I come to You now. I admit You are the Savior. Jesus, I'm the sinner. Jesus, I believe in You. I believe that You died on the cross to forgive me of my sin, to pay all of the price for all of my sin. Jesus, I call on Your name. Would You forgive me of my sin? Would You give me a fresh start? Would You make me new and change my life from the inside out? I trust You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. In Your name I pray. Amen. Man, if you prayed that prayer with me, I invite you to let me know that. Would you email me at david@arapahoeroad.org? I want to celebrate with you. I just want to follow up with you and help you take some next steps in your faith. And I'm so grateful that you were with us today, that you prayed with me today, and that you heard truth that, man, Jesus can change anybody, and His grace can change anybody's life. And once His grace has been received, that's when peace really begins to take place in our life. I want to remind you that same time next week, we'll be back here online. Our online platform continues to be available through Facebook Live, through our YouTube page, and through our Vimeo page, as well as through our website at arapahoeroad.org. We'll continue broadcasting our Sunday morning worship services. We'll continue with our midweek Wednesday offerings on Facebook Live. You can get that information on our website. And today I wanted to update you on behalf of our elders about what our plan is for next week on Sunday, July the 12th. And then in the weeks preceding at this time, that will be our first opportunity as a church for those who are ready to gather in person for family-style worship only. only. We'll continue to broadcast. So if you're not ready to come back in person to worship in the church buildings, that's great. The church isn't a building. The church is the people. And so whether you're going to worship online with us or beginning next week to worship in person, that option is up to you. We will just be doing worship as a family. There'll be no child care available next week. There'll be no in-person life groups at the church buildings. Those will continue to take place online. And so right now, we just want to ease our way back into the option of worshiping in person for those who are ready. This week, we will communicate more details about what that will look like, what you can expect for those who are ready to assemble at the church building at the Arapahoe Road campus. We'll give more information as the week unfolds and do that so that everybody has a clear understanding of what to expect. And we'll be answering questions throughout the week. So I look forward to being there, Lord willing, in person next Sunday on July the 12th to preach in person for those who are ready to assemble. If you're not quite ready, again, we'll continue with our online options for worship through those various platforms. So thanks for continuing to pray and be flexible and be patient. And just know that we're all walking through this together. I so appreciate our elders who continue to give great leadership in what we believe the Lord is leading our church family to do during this time. If changes need to continue to be made, we'll certainly do our best to communicate that. But as of right now, we are planning on making in-person worship an option at 10:45 for family-style worship. No child care, no in-person life groups. Those will continue online as they have been. So hopefully that communicates our intentions, and we'll continue communicating as the week unfolds before we get to next Sunday. If you haven't already had the opportunity to worship through giving today, I encourage you to do that. The best way to do that, the most secure way to do that, is through our website at arapahoeroad.org. You can go to the upper right-hand corner and click on the Give button, and that will take you to our secure giving link. And just grateful for those who continue to worship through giving, to worship the Lord through the church in that way. And know that our family continues to use that link, that option, and I hope that you will continue to do that as well. If you feel more comfortable writing a check and sending it through the mail, we certainly are doing our due diligence to make sure that we're checking the mail each and every day. So thanks however you choose to give, and however you express your generosity, know that we appreciate it, and you're just continuing to be who the Lord calls you to be, which is dependent on Him. Everything that we have comes from Him, and so thanks for continuing to be faithful on that front. I'd love to give you a blessing as we wrap our time up, so right where you are, why don't you hold your hands out, and let me give you a blessing. You are the people of God. When you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, His grace changes you. His grace leads to peace. And no matter who you are, what you've done, the grace of Jesus can change you, can change anybody. Live in that grace. Experience that peace. And share that good news with others this week. You weren't meant to keep it for yourself. You're free to share it. Live in freedom. Experience the freedom of Christ. Know that He's with you and for you today and all the days of your life. We're Arapahoe Road. We're in community and on mission. And that means we follow Jesus, love your neighbor, bless the city, and make disciples. God bless you. Happy 4th of July weekend.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.